order in which they will be making opening remarks. Closing remarks will be made in reverse order. I am going to introduce the candidates to you in the order of their opening remarks. First, independent candidate Lester Turilli. Green Party candidate Don Fitz. Democrat Chris Koster. Republican Eric Greitens. And Libertarian Sissy Spraggins. After their opening statements, I will ask the first question, then we will proceed to questions from our three panelists. Our three panelists today, seated in front, are Ken Newton of the St. Joseph News Press, Carol Stark of the Joplin Globe, and Bill Miller of the Washington Missourian. Candidates will have 1 minute to answer each question. After each has had a turn, an additional, I will decide if any rebuttal time is necessary, and if so, they'll have an additional 30 seconds. Rebuttals will be reserved only for those particular candidates involved in attack. If a candidate fails to answer a question, I also reserve the right to prod them to try again. Signs will be held up in the front row showing the time remaining during remarks. Candidates, please adhere to the stop sign. And audience, please hold your applause until the event is over. With that, let's begin. Earlier this year, Missouri drew national attention for legislation that would have barred government penalties against certain institutions and businesses that cite religious beliefs while declining to provide wedding-related services to same-sex couples. That issue is likely to be back again on the legislative agenda in January.
David, are we doing opening statements, sir?
Yeah, I thought I'd skip those today. I'm sorry. Let's do that. What's a good debate without a flub by the moderator? Lester, you're up first.
Thank you. It's a privilege to speak before you this morning. My name is Lester Turilli, and I am the only independent on the stage. I have no party affiliation. I have no special endorsements or special interests. I'm not a politician. I'm a family man. I'm a businessman. My family business is Merrimack Caverns. My great-grandfather started that 83 years ago. I've been an executive there for the last 25 years. During that time, I've employed thousands of Missourians. I have the past and the present experience to govern this state. Part of the reason I'm running is because I'm concerned for the future of our state and our kids. My heart's desire is to serve God and to serve the people of Missouri, and that's why I'm running for governor. Thank you.
Don Fitz.
I want to thank the Press Association for inviting all candidates to participate in the forum and not just the two candidates of the big money parties. There are important issues which I hope that this discussion will focus on. The issues such as we need to have clean air and water standards in Missouri that are stricter than federal guidelines. We need to replace nuclear and coal power with wind and solar power. We must repeal the misnamed right to farm amendment, and instead we must encourage farmers to produce products that are free of herbicides, pesticides, and genetic organisms, GMOs. We must preserve the right to have guns, but we must have permits after training for those guns, and we must have a ban on assault weapons. Well, we must end mass incarceration, we must end the death penalty, and we must end extrajudicial executions by police officers.
Chris Koster.
I hope we can set aside political rhetoric today and talk about what we can accomplish if we work together over the next 4 years. My hope is that we can create a funding plan for the Missouri Department of Transportation so the 34,000 miles of roads stop crumbling and we put 681 bridges, many of them in Senator Leibler's district, in rural Missouri, back into commission. We want to keep the promise that we've made to Missouri school children and end this era of underfunding public education across Missouri. And we want to bring economic development incentives back online to recruit light manufacturing companies to urban centers in rural Missouri alike. Open up international trade offices so farmers have foreign markets to sell their goods into. and give police the tools they need to clean up the streets. I know these two political parties, perhaps as well as any person in the state of Missouri. I look forward to working cooperatively and respectfully across party lines to bring progress to Missouri.
Eric Greitens.
I'm Eric Greitens. I've never run for political office. I'm a Navy SEAL, an entrepreneur, and a husband and father. When I came home from serving in Iraq, I saw a problem: a generation of veterans being broken and mistreated. These brave men and women had gone overseas for us. Many came home wounded and disabled. But what happened is that too often the government handed them a disability check and forgot about them. I saw the potential that these men and women have, so I donated my combat pay, and we started an organization, The Mission Continues, to help our returning veterans come home and get quality private sector jobs, to start and to run their own businesses, and to serve again here at home. We transformed thousands of lives. And today, veterans who often had trouble getting out of bed are now caring for their children and leading again in our communities. I'm running for governor because Missouri is a great state, full of promise and potential, but we're being held back by career politicians who, because of their cowardice and their corruption, shrink from facing the hard problems that are all around us. My opponent, Chris Koster, has been in office for more than 20 years, and we've all seen what's happened. Under his leadership, Missouri has become a state known for serial corruption, national embarrassment, and epic failure. We saw the violence and lawlessness in Ferguson. I think we had 2 minutes for opening statements.
All right.
I know that we can do better than what we've had, and I'm excited to bring more jobs, higher pay, safer streets, and better schools to the people of Missouri.
Sissy Spraggins.
I'd also like to thank the Press Association for inviting all the candidates on the ballot. A little bit about my background: I grew up on a farm in West Tennessee, and I studied chemistry and physics, and ultimately got a PhD in physics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In 1998, I moved to Minneapolis, and I started a manufacturing company making pest control products. In that business, my major competitors are all like four multinational corporations, so it's actually really similar to running for office as a libertarian. In 1984, I supported Jesse Jackson. Sorry, I supported Ronald Reagan. In 1988, I supported Jesse Jackson, but I'm pretty sure I've always been a libertarian. Personal choice and personal responsibility have always made sense to me. Government has become too large and too intrusive in our lives, and if we don't change course radically, we're going to have the first generation of Americans that leaves this country in search of greater opportunity elsewhere.
Now we'll go to questions. You had a preview earlier. So earlier this year, Missouri drew national attention for legislation that would have barred government penalties against certain institutions and businesses that cite religious beliefs while declining to provide wedding-related services to same-sex couples. That issue is likely to be back on the legislative agenda in January. Do you support such legislation, or do you support efforts by others to add sexual orientation and gender identity to Missouri's non-discrimination laws? This question goes first to you, Lester Turilli.
Wow, that's a big question. I do support that litigation. I do believe that religious institutions are separate. As such, they should be able to speak and perform duties that are innate to that particular denomination or religion. And if you're asking for a solution to that problem, we need to allow those marriages that are seeking those to go to places that are neutral, and that it doesn't violate the principles of the religious organization. As far as, what was the second half of the question? I'm sorry.
Adding gender identity and sexual orientation to non-discrimination laws.
I would advocate against that simply because I think if that was brought to our legislator as the way it sits, we would probably make more discrimination prevalent in our state.
Don Fitz.
There has been entirely too much hate in Missouri politics and in the United States politics over the last several years. There's been hate directed at people because of their gender preference and their sexual orientation. There's been hate directed at people because there's Muslims. There's been hate directed at people because they flee to the United States looking for better jobs from Mexico. Of course, there's not any hate against people coming from Canada looking for jobs in the United States because their skin color happens to be white instead of brown. The law, any sort of law that would discriminate or allow discrimination of somebody because of their sexual preference or sexual orientation is something which should absolutely be banned in Missouri. There is absolutely no question, but we should amend non-discrimination in order to include sexual preference and gender orientation.
Chris Koster.
I'm a yes on passage of the Missouri Non-Discrimination Act. I have a policy like that in my office. If it is not passed by the legislature, I'll continue Governor Nixon's executive order in favor of non-discrimination as governor. I believe that Missouri should protect religious leaders from having to participate in ceremonies that are against their faith. But beyond that, I do not think that our state should fly a flag of discrimination over the business community. States that have engaged in this or flirted with it, like Indiana and South Carolina, have seen not only a national approbation placed upon them, but have also seen hundreds of millions of dollars of economic decline, convention business that has left, headquarters that have left. I believe that economic growth in the future of this country is correlated with cultural openness, and economic decline is correlated with stagnation and prejudice.
Eric Greitens.
Look, I served as a U.S. Navy SEAL in a military in which we were able to protect everyone's religious freedom while at the same time ensuring non-discrimination. It's pretty common sense, and I think the people of Missouri agree that no pastor, no priest, no rabbi should ever be forced to participate in a ceremony that they disagree with. There are ways for us to do this, to make sure that we're protecting religious freedom while at the same time ensuring non-discrimination. And we do have to have leaders in Missouri who are willing to stand up for people who need protection. Unfortunately, my opponent, Chris Koster, was one of only four senators who voted against a bill that would have protected the privacy of rape victims so that they could be maintain their privacy and not be found by their abusers. He was one of only four senators who voted for a bill which would have made rape victims pay for their own rape kits. We need to have leaders who are willing to stand up and protect people. And Chris, I think you should explain to the women of Missouri and to the families of Missouri why you believe that a woman who's been raped has to pay for her own rape kit.
Sissy Spraggins.
I support the American value of freedom of association and the separation of church and state. So no, I don't think that a pastor should have to perform a ceremony for a gay couple if that's not their belief, nor do I think a bakery should have to bake a cake for a gay wedding if that's not their belief. Freedom of association actually creates harmony. It helps to notify people of who the bigots are, quite frankly. I have nothing against gay people. I live in a neighborhood with lots of them, actually. But the point is, when you try to shove your values down someone else's throat, it creates the hate that Mr. Fitz was referring to. Whereas if we all accept our own values and don't try to force them on other people, we're going to have peace, which is what libertarians seek.
We're going to give 30 seconds rebuttal time here to Chris Koster on the topic about that vote on rape legislation.
Yes. I wonder whether my colleague to my left has read the bill. Section 217 of the bill allows the possibility of killers who have been put behind bars for life without parole to be let out potentially on manufactured evidence. That is why I voted against the bill. I think that it is also why your lieutenant governor candidate, Mike Parson, voted against the bill. And I think it might have something to do with the reason that the Fraternal Order of Police have endorsed me and your lieutenant governor candidate.
30 seconds for you, Eric.
David, I did read the bill, Chris, and you're lying about what's in the bill. What's in the bill was very clear. It said that women who had been repeatedly assaulted and abused for years, who finally took action against their abusers and killed them and were sent to jail, it said that if they were in jail, that after 15 years, they would have the opportunity to be eligible for probation. That's what the bill said, Chris. And your record, you need to apologize to the women of Missouri and to families around Missouri.
We're going to have to move on to question two here, and that comes from Ken Newton.
Thank you. Thank you for all the candidates that have taken part here today. Many observers nationally say this race will decide whether Missouri becomes a right-to-work state. If you become governor and the legislature sends to your desk a right-to-work bill, what will you do?
This answer goes first to Don Fitz.
I would absolutely veto anything which is a right-to-work bill. However, we need to go beyond that in terms of defending labor rights. We need to make sure that we have a $15 an hour minimum wage that applies to restaurant workers and agricultural workers. We need a whole series of labor legislation to protect workers in addition to the right to work. We also need to be very suspicious of candidates like Chris Koster, who says that he's against the right to work but supported the right to farm. While the right to work protects the rights of American workers, the right to farm destroys the rights of American farmers and enshrines within the Constitution an enterprise, a business, as a corporation, as a person. And that's why it's very, very important to repeal that.
Chris Koster.
I would veto a right to work bill. I have a lot of wealthy folks who approach me around the state of Missouri and tell me that they think that our state would be a better place if folks who got paid by the hour actually made less money. But when I talk to the woman at the grocery store who stocks the shelves and she's making $11 an hour, she tells me that her life would be harder to put food on the table if she made $9.50 an hour. No matter how you slice it, right-to-work states earn about 15% less in income than non-right-to-work states. Missouri's income last year rose by about 3.8%, but the average of right-to-work states across the country was 3.2%, 15% less. In 2014, the state of Kansas, Iowa, Indiana, and Arkansas, all right-to-work states, all grew more slowly than Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky. I'm running for governor to fight for working people in this state, not against them.
Eric Greitens.
Yes, I'm going to sign right-to-work legislation, and I'll tell you why. Because as governor, we need in Missouri more jobs and higher pay. And it's very clear that right-to-work leads to more jobs and higher pay. If you look over the course of the last decade, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has said that states that had right-to-work legislation grew jobs 68% more. Our fellow Midwestern states like Indiana and Michigan that have signed right to work are leading the country number one and number two in new factory job growth. Tennessee has twice as many new manufacturing jobs as we do here in the state of Missouri. I'm going to sign right to work legislation because it's good for Missouri families, and we need to have leaders who are willing to do that. My opponent, Chris Koster, has taken over $8 million from union bosses. Over $8 million from union bosses. That's what's driving his economic plan. I know from having started and run my own business, from having worked with veterans as they've come home, both in Missouri and around the country, that we have to turn Missouri's economy around, and that's what I'm going to do when I'm governor.
Sissy Spraggins.
I support the right to work for any individual, for themselves, or for any business that wishes to hire them. I'm in favor of voluntary human trade, human contracting, and human interaction. Human interaction should be voluntary. If businesses want to hire someone, they should. If they don't want to hire someone, then they shouldn't. Conversely, if an employee wants to work for a business, they should. If they don't wish to, then they shouldn't. Businesses should be free to contract with employees without government interference. The current right to work legislation basically says that it prohibits employers from charging union dues to employees that have a union. I support employees forming a union, and I also support businesses to decide to recognize that union and negotiate with it or to choose not to. I'm actually interested in voluntary human interaction, human trading, and contracting with one another, not by government force.
Lester Torelli.
Right to work divides our state. We got the right over here wanting to pass it. We got the left holding blue. Here's the solution. Grandfather in all current businesses that are union labor forces right now. Let our labor unions keep working in Missouri. For any new business that wants to come to Missouri starting in 2017, they can be right to work. Solves both sides of the equation. Thank you.
The next question comes from Carol Stark.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk about the last couple of years, our legislature has turned down federal dollars when it comes to Medicaid expansion. The reason that largely they give is that in the future, our budget would not be able to pay the state's share of that. Do you think that that is a valid reason or a legitimate reason for continuing to turn down those federal dollars and not expand Medicaid in the state of Missouri? And why or why not?
This question goes first to Chris Koster.
Thank you. The state of Missouri right now is losing a rural hospital in our state every 8 months and has been for about the last 3.5 years. We lost the hospital at Osceola. We lost the hospital at Mount Vernon, at Springfield, at Farmington, and at Reynolds County. And it's because the economics of healthcare have changed. And unfortunately, unless we adapt to the new reality, we will in all likelihood continue to lose ground in rural healthcare across the state. The federal government is trying to send Missourians back money that we have sent to them, $2 billion a year. This $2 billion would be invested in not only in the large cities, but across the state, in places where we have difficulty getting economic development money, like Parma and Bernie and Tarkio and Tipton and Cahokia. It will create 40,000 new jobs and improve the health care of about 300,000 Missourians. As governor, I would like to work across party lines to find a solution to bring this $2 billion into our health care system.
Eric Greitens.
Look, Chris is a career politician, spent over 20 years in politics, and he's not telling you the truth about Obamacare. Obamacare is a broken program full of broken promises. They told people you could keep your doctor, well, you couldn't. They told people your premiums would go down, and in fact, they went up. And in states that have expanded Obamacare, they're actually going bankrupt. Ohio, they promised the people of Ohio that expanding Obamacare would cost $3.8 billion. In fact, it cost them $6.9 billion. In the state of Washington, $2.3 billion in their biennial budget. These states are going bankrupt. And look, this is a very clear choice in this election. If you support Obamacare, if you want more Obamacare, and if you want, as Chris Koster said, that his top priority is expanding Obamacare, you should vote for Hillary Clinton and Chris Koster. If you're opposed to Obamacare, I'm here to earn your vote.
Sissy Spraggins.
We need a free market in medical care. We need to reduce the costs, not by stealing money from one group of people to give it to another to create false jobs that Mr. Koster was talking about, but rather to encourage innovation, to eliminate certificate of need for the construction of new hospitals. That's a current Missouri requirement, to eliminate the problem where businesses can't buy insurance across state lines. We need to deregulate healthcare. We need to remove licensing requirements to allow more people to practice medical care and to allow especially consumers to choose medical care that is their choice, not what the government has decided constitutes medical care. We all know Obamacare is a disaster. You just have to look at your health insurance premiums. As a business owner, I pay health insurance. Those premiums have gone up by a factor of 3, as have my personal premiums. So clearly what we're doing is not working, and just taking money from the federal government that we ultimately won't be able to sustain down the road is not the answer.
Lester Torelli.
I am fiscally conservative, but I have a heart for people. There's a funding gap between Obamacare and Medicaid, and that's what we're talking about. I do believe in expanding Medicaid to cover those folks. I do believe that we should take advantage of some of the federal money for the time being, as long as Obamacare is still in place, to help our people. Now, Chris has maybe a misrepresentation of facts. It would create about 4,000 jobs. You can go to familiesusa.org for a fact check on that. But I do agree, it would help our economy. But more importantly, this is about helping people.
Don Fitz.
Absolutely, we must expand Medicaid. half of Missouri, the farming income for family farmers in Missouri has fallen by over half in the last few years. Many farmers are on the level of poverty because of this fall in income. But expanding Medicaid is not enough. We must have Medicare for all, not just those people over 65. I've worked with Missourians for Single Payer to develop a plan that will soon be on our website, which explains how a Medicare for all program would work in Missouri. One thing we need to realize is that if we insert insurance companies in between a patient and the doctor, that's not going to save money. That's only going to give the insurance companies a cut of the money. By removing the insurance companies and having Medicare for all, we will actually lower health care, lower health costs while providing more health care. Let's remember, over 90% of Missouri families are only one health disaster away from poverty. Expanding Medicaid and creating Medicare for all will solve that.
The next question from Bill Miller.
Again, thank to all of you for being here today. Happy to see your smiling faces. And, my question has to do with transportation. I think that most Missourians realize that our transportation infrastructure has fallen behind. I would like to hear from you what plan you have to do something about that, funding plan, and how you would tackle it.
This question goes first to Eric Greitens.
Yeah, well, look, Bill, we've got a major problem here in the state of Missouri. We've got 3,500 bridges that are structurally deficient. And when you travel around the state of Missouri, everybody recognizes that we need to be investing more money in our roads, in our bridges, in our ports. But what also happens when you travel around the state of Missouri, you ask people, should we be investing more money? Everybody says yes. And then you ask them, do you trust the government of the state of Missouri and career politicians like Chris Koster to invest your money wisely? And they all say no. They don't trust what's happening in government. We need to reestablish trust in government. And that's why I've said from the beginning, when I'm governor, I'm going to ban all gifts from lobbyists, close the revolving door between legislators and special interests, and put in place term limits for every statewide office holder. We're going to build a budget that meets the needs of the people of Missouri, and that includes investing in infrastructure. Now, my opponent, Chris Koster, was on the front page of the New York Times, is one of the most corrupt attorney generals in the country. The people of Missouri do not trust career crooked politicians, and they're not going to trust them to invest their tax dollars wisely. We need to reestablish trust in government and invest in our priorities, and that includes infrastructure.
Sissy Spraggins.
If we look at every problem area in society, whether it's transportation or schools or whatever, you find that it's an area that has been monopolized by government. Maybe we should begin to recognize that trend and realize that government monopoly for the last 100 years in certain areas is not working and do something differently. I agree with Mr. Greitens that, yes, people don't trust politicians to spend money that they collect in taxes appropriately, and that's been demonstrated time and time again. If you concentrate too much power in the hands of government, it's going to be corrupt. That's why you have lobbyists. If you didn't have the power in government, you wouldn't have lobbyists. We need to look at innovations and new ideas with regard to our infrastructure and look to privatize these areas and bring the free market solutions that will bring prosperity to our state.
Lester Turrilli.
Roads and bridges is a tough topic. And like Mr. Greitens said, most Missourians want the change, but they're not wanting to go forth with the expense that it's going to require to fix our roads and bridges. There's a safety issue. When I'm out riding my Harley Davidson, I'm watching out for potholes and crowns on the road. It can be dangerous. It's going to have to be done through a couple of ways. It's going to have to take place through a gas tax. It's going to have to be temporary. It's going to have to be minimal. And that money will have to be directly appropriated to the roads and bridges for that season. When that's done, you remove the gas tax. The other way we can do it is through an entry toll into the state of Missouri. We would do that on out-of-state vehicles only for a short, very short toll road, just a few miles or less, and the rollover money that we accumulate from that toll could be put into other roads and bridges.
Don Fitz.
I think a lot of us know that if the Department of Transportation is in newspaper after newspaper for wasting $7 million of taxpayer money, that does not help having enough funds available to repair Missouri's bridges, which are desperately in need of repair. Unlike Chris Koster, I'm totally against having a gas tax, which only hurts the poorest residents. A greater proportion of their funds would be spent on the gas tax than it would be of rich Missourians. Instead, I would propose a graduated income tax, a steeply graduated income tax, where the highest 1% pay the overwhelming majority and the rest see zero increase in taxes. But I think that the question of how transportation is approached is much, much bigger than just do we prepare roads. In the urban centers of Missouri, we must be looking for other modes of transportation, redesigning the urban core so that people can make the overwhelming majority of their trips by walking, by bicycling, and by using mass transportation. And we need to develop with work with engineers in order to make those changes possible.
Chris Koster.
One of the dangers of electing an inexperienced governor is that not only might they not understand the solution, they oftentimes don't understand the question. The Department of Transportation for the last 2 years has been downsizing, preparing for this day. Senator Leibler knows they have laid off 1,200 Missouri workers. They have sold over 700 pieces of large equipment, closed 124 maintenance barns, and shut down three large division offices in Macon, in Willow Springs, and in Joplin. And all three of those have in common that they are all in rural Missouri. As soon as this election is over, it's going to be imperative that a bipartisan funding solution with knowledgeable members of both parties, Senator Doug Leibler, who's here in the audience today, Senator Mike Kehoe, the leaders of the Senate and the House, come together and fill the $200 to $500 million hole that has accumulated in this state annually in the Department of Transportation budget. I look forward to working respectfully with these leaders to accomplish that.
David, can I just say, look, Chris says that I don't get it.
I'll give you 30 seconds rebuttal if you need that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Look, Chris says that I don't get it. And the fact is, Chris, you don't get it. And what you don't get is that government isn't working. It's not working for the people of Missouri. It might be working for you and the special interest insiders and your political cronies, but it's not working for the people of Missouri. When they see a career politician like you spend $3.2 million to redecorate your office, they know that your priorities are not the priorities of the people of Missouri. And people want a leader who's willing to step forward and address these problems and to solve these problems, Chris. And that's what I'm going to do when I'm governor.
Chris Koster, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. This issue of the what he says redecorating the office, he's talking about a building that I do not work in. The carpet in my office was picked out by George Ann Nixon about 20 years ago, and you're welcome to come by. My office looks like the Green Bay Packer locker room. We tore asbestos out of a building that was seeping water through the mold and had no windows, and the vote was unanimous within the Missouri Department, within the legislature of this state, to fix a building that was part of the aging infrastructure of Jefferson City.
We need to move to the next question, and Ken Newton, that comes from you.
Many of the national rankings have Missouri in the 30s or lower among states in education funding, K through 12 achievement, and many other categories. What would you do to raise educational opportunities above a C grade?
Sissy Spraggins, you're the first one on this question.
We currently at the state level spend about 5.5 or perhaps more, that's a couple of year older number, on education, and we collect another $4 billion in taxes at the property level for local schools for actual funding. I would get rid of the State Department of Education because we're basically paying about 2,000 bureaucrats to do a lot of stuff that hasn't contributed to improving education. If we want to do something for the children of this state, then we shouldn't bankrupt them for the future and destroy their opportunities for prosperity. We need to return education to local control. We need to get out of federal programs. We should not be receiving federal dollars and all the caveats that go with that. We should be returning it to local and parental control so people can educate their children in the manner that they see fit.
Lester Torelli.
Well, I'd like to say something about my office, if I may. My business was flooded this year, and I had 5 foot of water, flood water, in my office, and I'm operating off of a 3x6 plastic table. I want to fully fund our schools. It's important. My wife is a teacher. I have a unique perspective on the school system. I'm a parent. I have 3 children. My oldest is an adult. I have 2 teenagers. It's vital that we give our teachers 100% of what they need. They're on the front lines with our kids every single day. I also believe in giving our local school districts the ability to pick and choose the curriculum as long as it meets state guidelines. I also want to copy school districts that are performing well and implement those into the ones that are suffering.
Don Fitz.
I have mentioned before that there is plenty of money available to improve the schools if we have a steeply graduated income tax. But I think the question is much, much deeper. How do we improve education in Missouri in general? One of the first things that we need to do is to stop this fetish on standardized tests where children spend day after day performing on standardized tests. We need to abolish that. From kindergarten through the third grade and through the high school years, there should be no more than one day per year devoted to standardized tests. I'm a product of the public school system. I spent my entire elementary and high school years in public schools. My children went to a City of St. Louis and University City public schools, and then they went through the community college systems. We need to abolish charter schools. We need to phase them out and make sure that schools are not privatized. We need to make sure that students have guaranteed jobs when they get out of school. A lot of the problems that we see is that students from low-income areas say, why should I get an education if I'm just not going to have a job afterwards? We need to have guarantees of jobs for those students who graduate from the 12th grade.
Chris Koster.
Number one on my agenda is making sure that we keep the promise to the school children by fully funding Missouri's foundation formula, which has been chronically underfunded for a long time. Number two, we have 18 school districts in the state of Missouri that only attend classes 4 days a week. They go to school Monday through Thursday, 40 schools, 10,000 children in this state. If I'm governor of this state, every child's going to go to school 5 days a week. We're going to raise teacher salaries and raise teacher quality at the same time so that we put in standards that so that the best and the brightest are in our schools teaching children. And finally, I want to give flexibility to districts because one size does not fit all and give districts the opportunity to go above the 174-day school limit. We have one of the shortest school years in the nation, and giving schools the opportunity, if they choose, to go above the 174-day limit is something I would support.
Eric Greitens.
Look, big government liberals like Chris Koster think that the answer to everything is spending more money. The facts are clear. Missouri spends about the national average on our kids in schools, but we're 40th in teacher pay and 47th in starting teacher pay. We need to make sure that that money actually makes it to the teachers and the kids, that it actually makes it into the classrooms. And because of the big government policies of folks like Chris Koster, we've seen the failure in Missouri schools. You know, only 2.7% of African American kids in Missouri graduate from high school having passed one single advanced placement class. It's the third worst rate in the nation. We have 276 of our school districts here in Missouri where last year not a single kid passed a single advanced placement class. Only one in three of our fourth graders are reading at proficiency. We can do better. But in order to do that, we have to fight against big government programs, and we have to put power in the hands of teachers and parents. You know, my mom was an early childhood special education teacher. She did that work for over 30 years. And I saw her work with kids who had Down syndrome, kids who had Asperger's, kids who had severe disabilities. Those kids deserve a fair chance at the American dream, and we need to make sure that we put power in the hands of their parents so that they can make sure that they design an education system that works for them.
Next question from Carol Stark.
One of you will be our next governor, and as such, one of your primary tasks is making sure that Missouri has a balanced budget. Now, we've talked a lot about some of the budget challenges that are ahead of us, but can you cite some of them that might not be so obvious to all of us?
This question goes first to Lester Torelli.
As a businessman, operating in the business world for the last 30 years of my life and operating in several different businesses, I know what it takes to balance a budget. If you don't balance a budget as a small business owner, you're not going to be in operation the next year, or you're going to operate at a deficit. I think that balancing Missouri budget is not very difficult issue. It's going to take working with the House and the Senate, though, to make sure that we're both on the same line in some different areas. One area that I would like to probably increase a little funding to would be the Department of Mental Health. We are suffering in that area, but there are some different areas that working with the legislatures that we could come to an agreement.
Don Fitz.
As I've already mentioned, there's ways that money is being wasted in the state of Missouri, especially by the Department of Transportation, to the tune of $7 million. But another area which is huge is that Missouri is unfortunately dedicated to mass incarceration, to arrest huge numbers of people for the crime of driving while black or doing something like smoking a little bit of marijuana. These are absolutely ridiculous. We could empty out huge numbers of Missouri prisons, have many, many fewer people there. It's much less costly to treat people in the community for drug offenses than it is to build more and more prisons to treat them there. And for mental health offenders, a lot of the police training about how to deal with mental health issues would keep mental health clients from going to jail. But the issues that we really need to look at very closely are taxes. There's two problems with taxes. One is we need to eliminate the sales tax. There should be no sales tax. The another problem is that the income tax really needs to be graduated very sharply. Let the 1%, the richest 1%, pay the overwhelming majority.
Chris Koster.
Perhaps the biggest economic challenge that the state faces at this moment is simply the current state of the budget itself. The consensus revenue estimate last year was for 4% growth, but we didn't start the year where we thought. We started 2% less because last year didn't end as well as we had hoped. And so to make all the budget trains reach the same place at the end of the fiscal year, we're going to have to travel 6% of growth. Now, right now, at the end of the first quarter, we're moving at about a 2% pace. Governor Nixon has withheld $115 million to the consternation of many, but he is prudent in his judgment on this. The hope is that the economy will pick up, but if the economy does not pick up, the next governor, whoever that is on this stage, will be looking at the potential for additional withholds. And that is before we even go back in January and look at the supplemental requests. So we are in tough budgetary sledding right now, and I think that it is prudent for every Missourian to at least recognize that.
Eric Greitens.
Yeah, look, here's the problem that politicians like Chris Koster have put us in. We've got a $27 billion budget in the state of Missouri, $27 billion. But when you look through that entire budget, there are no measurements for performance and accountability. We need to have a governor who's going to insist on accountability and results in every department of government. You know, other states have done this. Indiana actually went through and they cleaned out all of their roles so that they stopped paying unemployment to people who were in jail. Ohio instituted a program called Lean Ohio, where they were able to reduce the amount of time that it took in their procurement process for the Ohio Turnpike Authority from 90 days down to 5 days. This isn't magic, but you need a leader who's willing to insist on results and accountability at every level of government. And let me be clear, when I'm governor, I'm going to bring with me a team of people who have also successfully run businesses, run hospitals, run universities. We're going to appoint, when I'm governor, a chief operating officer, who's every day is going to wake up and make sure that we are running an efficient government with a focus on results and accountability. That's the kind of leadership that we need in the state of Missouri.
May I have a
Sissy Spraggins.
Firstly, I'd like to point out that I'm very happy that the state can't print money the way the federal government does, so that certainly simplifies the equation. I agree with Mr. Fitz with regard to letting people out of prison. I don't agree with much else he said on that statement, but I do agree that we should basically pardon all nonviolent drug offenders and anyone else that's incarcerated for a victimless crime in this state. That'll definitely save money. Otherwise, in order to solve budgetary problems, we basically have to increase freedom. Government does too much. Government controls too much. Government grows every year, and every year we hear about how government doesn't have enough money to do this and doesn't have enough money to do that. Well, perhaps government should do less versus getting to the point where there is no way that you'll ever have any government official ever say that they have enough money.
Eric introduced the topic of performance budgeting in reference to you. Chris, would you like 30 seconds on that?
Eric just articulated that he wants to hire as his first act in office a chief operating officer. That's you, Eric. That's what they're trying to hire.
Actually, the chief operating officer, the CEO.
The governor is the person who runs the budget. And if you don't know enough to operate the state of Missouri, then you shouldn't be applying for the job, my friend.
David, Chris,
30 seconds to you, Eric.
Chris is a deeply confused career politician who does not understand the difference between a CEO, Chris, a chief executive officer, and a chief operating officer. Chris, I've run a business. You haven't. And in a business, in an effectively run business, one of the things that you do is you have somebody who's looking every single day at how you drive efficiency in government. As governor, I'm going to also be, as the CEO, looking at cleaning up some of the big problems that you've created, like the problems that you've created in public safety. There's a difference between a CEO and a COO, and the fact that you don't know it, Chris, the fact that you don't understand what it actually takes to run a business or an enterprise is one of the reasons why the people of Missouri cannot elect another crooked career politician.
We need to go to the next question. That comes from, audience, please hold your applause. The next question comes from Bill Miller.
Thank you. I have listened to several of you speak, and in one of Mr. Greitens' talks in our town, he said that government is broken at all levels. Some of the hardworking volunteer public servants who serve on city councils and so on have told me they felt that was somewhat insulting. And I would like to know, do all of you feel that government at every level is broken?
This goes first to Don Fitz.
Absolutely, government at all levels are broken. I mean, we can start with the governor's race of Missouri, where both the big money candidates put themselves on TV using automatic weapons, implying that the way to solve your political problems is to go out and kill someone. That, in the area where I live in St. Louis, that is really not a good message to give to young people. We need to have some sort of moral challenges and some sort of moral standards for people who run for public office, and neither the Democrat nor the Republican are willing to do that. We know that after Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, that there were riots and there were people who were appalled at the level of racism in Missouri. And what did Eric Koster do? He celebrated the death of Michael Brown by executing a black man, Earl Ringo, within a month of Michael Brown's death, saying that Missouri should be in the top lines of killing people if it helps somebody advance their political career. When you have politicians who do things like this, you cannot have moral trust in the morality of the government.
Chris Koster, you're next.
I believe that what we need to do to improve a government that can be improved is to make sure that what is inherently in the DNA of this state, which is small conservative government that has low taxation and business-friendly regulation and a AAA bond rating, remains intact. But what hasn't been done in this state over the last 15 years or so is the other aspects that bring balance to government. We haven't been investing in our workforce. In the world of economic development, we call it workforce development, but in the real world, we just call it education. Higher education in this state, investment in it has been cut by 40%, and the K-12 budget, the foundation formula itself, has seen about a 25% decline. We also have failed to make the investments in the infrastructure that on which our economy runs. And so new investment, we've talked about it, in transportation, in healthcare, and in a new energy grid that will bring conservation, new transmission lines, and other resources to this state are things that the next administration should be investing in.
Eric Greitens.
Yeah, Bill, if you'd seen what happened to my friends who served in Iraq and Afghanistan and they came home and the treatment that they got at the VA, you'd recognize that government's broken. And when you see the people of Missouri see what happened at Ferguson, you recognize that government's broken. And one of the reasons why government's broken is because we have career politicians who are always putting politics first. You know, Chris Koster's our attorney general, supposed to be the chief law enforcement officer of our state. When he showed up at Ferguson, one of the first things that he did was he said, "Can we fire Darren Wilson?" He did this before he knew the facts. He did this because this was politically convenient for him. Well, the fact is, Chris, now I, and law enforcement officers and first responders around the state, and law enforcement officers and first responders and their families around the state, and everybody who cares about the safety of our communities and the integrity of our communities, we're going to see, Chris Koster, that on November 8th, we're going to fire you.
Sissy Spraggins.
The whole concept of government is broken when it goes beyond its only legitimate functions, which is to protect people's rights, property rights, and protect their life and liberty. That's what government's supposed to do. Government has expanded to be something completely unrecognizable from that point, and it by nature is going to be broken. It doesn't mean that the people in the system are bad. It means that the incentives in the system reward bad behavior. Everybody, human nature has good things and human nature has bad things. The political system rewards bad things in human nature. A free market system rewards good things in human nature. So the nature of government, where it's grown to the point where it controls way too much of our lives, is inherently broken. But that's not a function just of the people in the system. It's not going to change if we just get the good guys in, as long as government has the amount of power over our lives that it does.
Lester Torelli.
The answer to your question, Bill, no. Our government is broken at the top level, the top echelon, the elected leaders. There lies the problem. The tens of thousands of good Missourians that work hard every single day, they're doing their job. They're doing what they are instructed to do. What we need to do is clean house. We need to get people who are genuinely interested in the state of Missouri and helping out. I'm coming forward, boldly speaking. I've never run for politics before. I encourage others that read your papers to do the same thing.
All right, we had a new topic introduced there, and that was Ferguson. It actually was mentioned by both Don and by Eric. And since we're about out of time here, what we're going to do on this, we're going to give everyone a 30-second rebuttal on the topic of Ferguson. Okay? And Don, you introduced it, but I'm going to let you go first, and we'll just stay in the same order we were on that last question.
Well, yeah, what I mentioned about Ferguson and what I did not mention was that Earl Ringo, who was put to death with the approval of Jay Nixon and Chris Koster, was a black man who was convicted by an all-white jury. And in that particular case, there was an accomplice to the crime who did not receive murder. So the death penalty is a horrible, inequitable situation. It is systemic of the racism that permeates the criminal justice system. The black people are more likely to be stopped by the police, are more likely to be incarcerated and receive lower sentences. If we don't deal with racism, we are not dealing with criminal justice in Missouri.
Chris Koster, you're next here.
Mr. Greitens has repeatedly made the statements that he would have brought peace by the second day if only he had waved his magic wand, I guess. But it's an insult to the thousands of law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line.
Actually, Chris, what's an insult?
You saying that you wanted
to fire Darren Wilson as soon as you showed up and you didn't know the facts.
I was in the federal courts of this state fighting against the ACLU and protecting the police on the staging area law, on the tear gas rule, on the five-minute rule, protecting police. And that is why the police of this state, 6,500 of them strong, have endorsed my campaign for governor and not yours.
Eric Greitens.
Look, Chris, before you knew any facts, you came to Ferguson, and when the law enforcement officers expected you to have their back, you said, "Can we fire Darren Wilson?" You need to be, as a leader, someone who has the backs of the people who are counting on you. Our police officers and law enforcement officers and first responders were counting on you. And you want to hide behind the endorsement of a union? I'll tell you this. I've got law enforcement officers, first responders, and their families all over the state of Missouri who are going to see that your days in politics are over on November the 8th.
The statement is simply not true.
On Ferguson.
We need to get to the root of the issue. There's not a Band-Aid solution for Ferguson. One of the biggest problems in the state or in the country is the fact that we have victimless crimes that turn everyone into a suspect. Everybody in the country is a suspect in a victimless crime because the police don't know where to look. Basically, they then use racial profiling to decide who they're going to stop and frisk. And this has created a huge amount of distrust between the police that are supposed to serve the public when somebody steals from you or takes your stuff or hurts you, and being incarcerated or chased down for smoking marijuana.
Lester Torelli.
Ferguson was a tragedy. First time around, I don't know if much could have changed. The second time around, there should have been some big changes. It's a lack of leadership. My son was trapped in Ferguson. Okay? I understand the realness of the situation. What should have been done the second time around was to mobilize police instead of two fronts, mobilize them in front of the public places of business and homes, and give them instruction and authority to do their job. What we also need is racial unity.
All right, it is now time for our closing statements, and the first to deliver their closing remarks is Sissy Spraggins.
The Libertarian Party is the third largest party in the country. We've been around since 1971, and people have come around to realize we're growing at an unprecedented rate, and that is because people are seeing what the welfare and warfare policies of the older parties have created. We need to end victimless crimes. We need to end the state income tax. We need to get rid of regulations on business and on personal behavior. We need to get government out of marriage. We need to get government out of reproductive decisions. We need to get government out of the lives of individuals beyond protecting their people and property. The people of Missouri have a choice. You can basically keep doing what you're doing, or you can actually vote Libertarian, and if after 4 years you don't like peace and prosperity, then you can vote tyranny back into office again.
Eric Greitens.
Look, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Chris Koster's been in politics for over 20 years, and we've all seen his record. We've seen what it's led to. We saw his failure at Ferguson. We saw this is a guy who showed up on the front page of the New York Times as the most corrupt attorney general in the country. You've heard today about his tremendous support for Obamacare, that he said it's his top priority for the state of Missouri. Look, Chris has been in politics for over 20 years. If he was going to make a difference, he would have done so already, but he hasn't, and he won't. But we can. Together, we can build a Missouri where every kid who got on the school bus this morning feels that they've got a fair shot at the American dream. We can build a Missouri where moms who are working harder and longer to support their families are doing so with better pay. And we can make sure that when grandparents send their grandkids out to play, they know that they're going to be safe in the neighborhood. We can do this together. We can build a Missouri where no one is left behind and everyone has a chance. And I'd be honored to earn your vote for the election on November the 8th.
Chris Koster.
The Republican nominee introduced himself to the state 5 months ago with a machine gun saying that he knows how to blow up government. I have little doubt that he knows how to blow up government. I have a lot of doubt as to whether he knows anything about putting it back together, which is why I think he needs training wheels and a COO and a team of people to come in and show him how to do the job that a governor is supposed to know how to do. This campaign has brought together a historic coalition, the entirety of the agricultural community, including the Missouri Farm Bureau, the National Rifle Association, police, firefighters, first responders, teachers, who have come together because they are frustrated with hyper-partisanship and want to see progress in Jefferson City. I have spent the entirety of my career trying to build a majority in the middle. Missourians who have watched my career know that. As governor, I will work respectfully across party lines in order to bring progress to our state.
Don Fitz.
For over 100 years, the Democrats and Republicans have entered into a conspiracy to drive every other party out of politics by passing laws to favor themselves. Again, I want to thank groups like the League of Women Voters and the Missouri Press Association for opening discussions to everybody who will be on the ballot in November. Unfortunately, one thing that we did not get a chance to cover today was how to make jobs for Missouri, and I will cover that now. I'm the only candidate, I believe, who advocates reducing the work week to 35 hours so that we can have jobs for all. I'm the only candidate who advocates rebuilding impoverished areas of Missouri and the urban core of the big cities of Missouri with green jobs. I think I'm the only candidate who recognizes the fact that many people who have full-time jobs would gladly switch to part-time jobs if they could, but they're afraid of losing their benefits. So we must have Medicare for all so that everybody has guaranteed medical care, and we must expand Social Security benefits. In this way, full-time workers who want to could go into part-time work, and we would have more jobs for everybody in Missouri.
Lester Torelli.
On October 8th, a week from tomorrow, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'd like to invite all of you to come to my facility, Merrimack Caverns, bring your family. We're going to have a meet the candidate and free cave tours and hot dogs and soda, so come on down. Now, here's the deal. You heard a lot of rhetoric up here. What's their motivation? My motivation is my heart. What made America great was her dependence upon God and the freedom that came from that. If we want a future for the state of Missouri, we're going to have to put investments back into faith and in family. My name is Lester Torelli. Some people call me Les. My motto is less is more. I believe government, less is more. Taxes, less is more. And once again, I would like to thank you for your hospitality and your invitation to all the candidates. Thank you.
That concludes the governor's candidates forum. Now would be the appropriate time to applaud.
When that party you're having, you're going to have a vegetarian option.